Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this All Saints is from the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, which emphasizes what makes a sinner a saint before God. From Isaiah chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil from your deeds. From before my eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's case. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they shall become like wool. You may be seated. There is so much in our lives that can cause us to be overwhelmed. At times we are so overloaded, we just find ourselves going through the motions. And yet, there are other times that we go through the motions simply because, well, we want to be doing something else, right? Today, God's word addresses when we are tempted to just go through the motions, especially when it comes to worship. Jesus doesn't want our lives to be that way. Therefore, he calls us back once again from the monotony of life to be his vessels in his world through his word and through his sacraments. You know what it is like to be overwhelmed? A bad job, a bad marriage, bad kids, a bad neighborhood, a bad school, a bad teacher. You know, we can handle a lot of things, but sometimes there are just too many, and we have to narrow things down. And sometimes we just simply have to go through the motions. What can we do but to shift our lives into neutral? Yes. Many are also coasting because they want to just get through things so they can get to their what they want. Like getting church out of the way so you can do what you want to do this afternoon. I remember we used to go to early church because then you had a longer day to do what you wanted. Well, Isaiah saw exactly what was happening, and the Lord saw it too. His people and its rulers were coasting through life. Oh, not in every part. Oh, there are some parts they were really working hard at and that were being very active in. But when it came to worship, they were just coasting through. The result of their coasting is that they started not acting like God's children, God's chosen people. Their children were picking it up too. They weren't acting like his royal priests, his holy nation, his saints. And it has gotten so bad that God goes ahead and calls his own people and its rulers, rulers of Sodom and the people of Gomorrah. Maybe you remember those two cities. They were destroyed by fire that was coming down out of heaven. Well, the question is, why were they destroyed? It wasn't because these cities were not prosperous. Oh, they were very prosperous cities. And that's something that Lot recognized as he and Abraham went their separate ways. He saw the green, lush area, the pasture lands of Sodom and Gomorrah, and said, "Yep, that's the place for me." And he went. And so Abraham went the other way. Yes, he could make it good there. These people were exciting, open, tolerant, except living the way that God had intended human beings to live. Maybe you remember the two people that came to visit Lot, the two men. Yes, these two men came to visit Lot, and the men of Sodom wanted to be entertained. So they insisted on recreational sex with these two men. Lot even said, "How could you do such a thing? I'll even give you my two daughters." Woo. God heard. God knew. he was coming, things were that bad. But do you remember what Abraham did? When God revealed to him what he was going to do to those two cities, he pleaded with God, with the Lord, that if there were 50 or even just 10 people, would you still destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? No, the Lord said he would not do it. And yet, the cities were destroyed as Lot and his two daughters escaped. God's people were following their rulers like a bad marriage headed for destruction. But wait. God's people and the Davidic kings, they were still living. They were still existing at the time of Isaiah. Why hadn't God destroyed them yet? In verse 9, if you were to go ahead and look earlier, it says, if the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. In other words, there's still hope. Things are not all gone yet. But if there's hope, what's wrong? Like I said, they're just going through the mindless requirements. You know, those in college understand this, you know, when you got those required classes that you got to go through. You don't want to be there, nobody else wants to be there, and the prof doesn't want you want to be there either. Yeah, you just get through, get done with that class. Yep. Well, you know, we've had divine service too for all summer. Since the beginning of Pentecost, maybe for some of you it's been getting kind of monotonous, singing the same thing over and over again. Some of you maybe even remember when we only had TLH page 5 and 15. The services weren't even different. It just with or without communion. And it is Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. At least here we switch services. You know, and we've heard law and gospel in the sermons and our minds wander and yeah, I see some people's heads nodding and going off to sleep. We have communion every Sunday, and you know, those yellow sheets, we just see them, and sometimes we even just draw a line straight down because seen it, done it, same answers, just going through the motions, just get on with life. Some have thought that the solution is to make things more exciting. True, it would be good if it'd be more exciting, a little different. But at what point do those exciting things, those entertaining things, become monotonous? When you have to have a new show, that new hymn that just keep on. I mean, that's the way TV works. That's the way entertainment works too. And yet, the writer of Ecclesiastes says that there is nothing new under the sun. Been there, done it. Yep, we've done it. But God isn't wanting us to be just entertained or to just go through the checklist. He doesn't want it just that you make sure that you spend your 60 minutes or your 120 minutes at church. He's looking for something else. He's looking for a changed heart. When you and I come before the Lord, He expects something to happen. He's expecting you to be changed. He's expecting me to be changed. Just like He expected the people of old. Remove the evil from your deeds, from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's case. And that's not only in the people's Old Testament lives, but it is also for us today. It's what the Christian life is to look like. But what's wrong with God's people? How come they can't get there? It's not that God has abandoned them. No, he's talking with them through Isaiah. He's there in his grace. Worship after worship after worship. He's put up with their worship. He's put up with their offerings. But they are not listening. What's going to make them listen? We've even done this as kids when we call people names, right? God does it to his people. Yes, you rulers of Sodom and you people of Gomorrah. Whoa, that's the city that was burned up. Why is God calling us that? That should perk up their ears. Hear the word of the Lord. Give ear to his teaching. I dare say. Now we can go ahead and get all the drums and guitars. We can go ahead and raise our hands and chant slogans to get people excited. We could even buy a new organ. But I'm asking you, will it change your heart? That's what God's word can do and promises to do, is to change your heart. There's that word wash in the text. Seems kind of odd and out of place unless you remember what was at the temple. There on the 12 bowls of bronze, there was this huge bowl that was filled with water, and they called it the sea. And there the priest would wash before he would continue with the rites or the service, and the sacrifices were washed clean. It points to the Old Testament sacraments, those who offered them to God's people, to be washed clean. That's the point, isn't it? Even though the rulers and these people had become like Sodom and Gomorrah, they were still God's people. So also, most of you are baptized. God has claimed you as his very own. He wants you to be with him. No matter how dirty you have gotten from the world, no matter how corrupt you have gotten, God wants you back all the time. He wants you to be with him forever. We have talked about, are we saying in the intro and the gradual, these are those who wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, right? That's to be you. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this is what we are to live out by faith. Yes, some of us go to counseling and some of us go ahead and take courses so that we can be better people. But how much better when we expect the change to happen because of who God has proclaimed us to be. So those things that we learn become a blessing not only for ourselves, but a blessing for those around us, that we have died to sin and now live as saints in the world around us. This morning, we confessed our sins. This morning, you have heard the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins that has come from Jesus Christ our Lord. He has declared you washed and clean. He has declared you no longer a victim of others, no longer a victim of your past. You now live by faith. You see, the reference point is not our current reality that we see around us this day, but it is the truth of God's word. The reality of this life is that we are indeed sinners until the day we die. But the truth of God's word is that in Christ Jesus, we count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. We are declared his saints, his holy ones. We are not just going through the motions so that we can get on with the rest of our day. God is at work here because his word is here. God is at work in you. Because his word is in you, making, declaring sinners, saints, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.